straight ahead, hear Beau French in studio for a rare interview, taking our questions on his campaign for Railroad Commission, Governor Abbott's criticism of him during the primary, and whether he regrets controversial comments made in the past. Plus, he ran Dallas schools. Now he wants to run the entire city. Dr. Michael Hinojosa, the first to declare for Dallas mayor, his thoughts about the future of Dallas City Hall and what he said about the city manager, Kim Tolbert. A little more than 100 days until the November election, will Texans see Ken Paxton and James Tallarico face-to-face in a debate? And Corpus Christi's water crisis could cost council members their jobs in November. Corpus Mayor Paulette Guardo from the Coastal Bend.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
Thank you for being here. A lot to get to. Let's start with the headlines as always. We might actually see Ken Paxton and James Tallarico face-to-face in a debate before the November election. Tallarico said he accepted three televised debates, including one from us. Paxton responded quickly, saying, of course we're going to debate James Tallarico. When and where have yet to be worked out as we close in now on 100 days until the election. Texas leaders are ordering state agencies and courts and universities to cut their budgets next year by 3%. Governor Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Patrick, and Speaker Burroughs say the savings could help pay for more property tax relief, among other things. The cuts do not apply to public schools or the state's private school voucher program, though. And money is getting tight both in Dallas and in Harris County. Dallas is furloughing workers to erase a $30-something million budget gap. Harris County faces a much bigger one, a $130 million shortfall, similar to last year. But commissioners now are considering layoffs there and perhaps cuts to county services. All right, next weekend this time marks 100 days away from the November election. The top of the ballot is getting a lot of attention, but one of the lesser watched statewide races is for Texas Railroad Commission. A few weeks ago, we interviewed the Democrat in the race, John Rosenthal. Now, though, the Republican. Beau French is the former chairman of the Tarrant County Republican Party who has made controversial comments online in the past, but he took our questions in this rare interview. Beau, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Jason, great to be here. Thank you.
Congrats on the nomination. We'll discuss some controversy in a moment. Let's start with your priorities, though, if you're elected in November. You say you're committed to ending overbearing regulation through the Railroad Commission. Give us an example. What type of regulation you'd like to end?
Yeah, so actually last year, the Railroad Commission passed a bunch of new regulations. Kind of the first time they'd updated their regulations, especially on the environmental front, in a long time. And, you know, I work with a lot of people in the oil industry, and not everybody's very happy about those regulations. And so one of the things I would do would be look to roll back some of those regulations, not everything. I'm not anti-regulation. We have to have some regulations. But I do kind of fall in the Donald Trump mindset of, you know, if we're going to add a regulation, we need to get rid of 10 other regulations.
You also promised to get rid of the influence of radical Islam and the Chinese Communist Party in Texas oil. What type of influence are they exerting right now?
Well, there are cases where these foreign Islamic countries have ownership in oil and gas assets here in Texas. Yeah. And one of the things that I would look to would just be to add on to the current law, that's SB 17, as you know, that banned
foreign land ownership.
Yeah. You know, China,
Iran,
and Iran, and places like that, enemies of America. I think we need to add the Islamic countries to that list as well.
All of them? Yeah, that'd be a lot of them, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You'd add all of them?
Or absolutely.
You'd ask the legislature to do that?
I would.
What do you say to independents and some Republicans who might be skeptical of you?
I think people are hungry for, Donald Trump proved this 10 years ago, people are hungry for someone who's going to come in and fight for them, and having people in elected office who are very open about, look, I tell people, I'm not smart enough to lie to you, so I'm just going to tell you what I believe and what I'm going to do. And I did that as the Tarrant County GOP chair when I was there, and I think that is why I have risen in popularity among people online, because I say things that people know to be true, and they're like, finally, someone is saying what I believe and what I think and what I feel, and it's refreshing to have people who are out there fighting for those things. I think we need to have people in office. Look, I'm a Republican. I think we need to have people in office who are fighting for our Republican Party platform that our grassroots spends a lot of time putting together.
And there's no question that your time as Tarrant County GOP chair clearly raised your popularity, but you also said things that made a lot of headlines and might have turned off some folks. Do you regret any of those at all?
Well, I say this often, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And so when things come across as being controversial, it's because I've said something that is true, that some people don't like that truth. And so they want to claim that it's hateful or something like that, but I don't regret anything I've said.
During the primary, Governor Abbott said, quote, "You don't know anything about oil and gas." Abbott also said that your agenda would wreck the miracle that Texas has in producing more oil and gas than ever before. Then you defeated his candidate. The governor welcomed you. Have you spoken to the governor?
Yes, of course
that?
I have. Yeah. I'll be in Austin in a couple weeks, meeting with the governor again and his team.
Did he apologize to you for that?
No. Look, this is we don't take these things personally. A primary, like I said, is a spirited campaign between two competing sort of views of what the Republican nominee should be, and ultimately my views won the day, and so the governor is smart. He recognizes that a lot of people voted for me and supported me. And so, of course he is, like I think everybody else is, on the Republican side of the ticket. And yes, we can make some improvements here and there, and that's what the primary process does. It selects the people who are gonna help implement that. But the view is also, it's binary. It's, do we support people who are at least logical and think about what's good for Texans and what's good for our culture, or do they pick someone who hates our culture and wants to destroy Texas? And that's what the entire left side of that ticket does.
Bo, thanks for the time.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
We spoke at length with Bo French, our unedited conversation with him, and the Democrat, John Rosenthal, on this week's episode of Yolitics. The two have very different priorities, but there is one thing they actually agree on. Yolitics, available to download right now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's bring in the roundtable now to talk about the politics of this race a little farther down ballot. Bud Kennedy is here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Natalie Haddad, political reporter at WFAA in Dallas, and Ashley Gudo, political director at KVU in Austin. Bud, let's start with you. Even with controversy, Bo French has lots of money. He has a motivated base behind him. How do you see this race shaping up?
Well, he wants to portray this as a culture war election. Instead of an oil and gas election, because he's trying to get the voters' attention. I think what he does, he's got some of the small operators in West Texas, but the big oil operators supported his opponent in the primary. We haven't seen yet how they'll go in the fall, but he had the big West Texas oil money, but a lot of small operators. The regulation he wants to roll back involves injection wells. The commission stepped in because the injection wells were poisoning the water in West Texas. Bo wants to roll that back.
Natalie, a few weeks ago, you interviewed John Rosenthal. We've now heard from Bo French. Thoughts now?
My thoughts remain as they were when I interviewed Mr. Rosenthal. The two resumes between these candidates, they don't compare. Energy trading really does not make up for the decades that Mr. Rosenthal has being a career mechanical oil field engineer. Energy trading simply does not match up to that. And the unfortunate part about a sleepier race like this, if I may respectfully call it so because it is less watched, is that people aren't really aware of what this race is about, what this seat is about. And so people are going to really need to get informed about what this entails, because I do think that when it comes to experience, there is a clear correct candidate.
Ashley, let's talk about the biggest race on the top of the ballot. James Tallarico, Ken Paxton. Looks like we now might see them in a debate. The when and where still to be worked out, but what are we going to see?
The when and the where still to be worked out, and that's the part that concerns me, right? So I don't know what we're going to see or if we're going to see it. I think you have to really look at what Paxton's team said in their statement, right? They said, of course, we're going to debate James Tallarico. Did they say, of course, we're going to debate him on TV? Did they say, of course, we were going to debate him on a place that would be streamed? That wasn't the case. So it's not to say that I don't believe them. I'm just not holding my breath yet. I'm really not.
And 100 days out, we'll see how much time elapses between now and then to get this worked out. Guys, thanks a lot. Back to you in just a moment. A lot more ahead here, including this.
When we come back here, Dr. Michael Hinojosa, why he launched a campaign for mayor so far out, and his position on the future of Dallas City Hall. Plus, Corpus Christi's mayor says council could face consequences in November for that city's ongoing water crisis. Up next on Inside Texas Politics.
Welcome back to Inside Texas Politics. We are more than 15 months away right now from the election, but the race is now on to become the next mayor of Dallas. Former Dallas ISD superintendent Dr. Michael Hinojosa, now the first to declare, making the announcement outside City Hall, then sitting down with us for this interview. Dr. Hinojosa, good to see you again here.
Thank you, sir.
You've never been in politics before. Why in the world do you want this job?
Well, because I love this city, and obviously I love the school district, and I owe a lot to this community. And, you know, I could retire and go home, but that's not my makeup. You know, I never miss a day of work, and I see that there's a void in leadership right now, and I want to step up and help out.
You talk about AT&T, you talk about the Mavs. How do you think Dallas got itself in this situation?
It was just lack of attention to details, and I think there was too much infighting and too much territorialism. Just like when I took over Dallas ISD, I had three black, three white, three brown board members, and they would fight about everything. Now they're in violent agreement about what should be done. And the taxpayers supported them with a $6 billion bond program. So if you get focused, and that's the other thing, if you come up with strategic priorities and then you define your measures of success, and I always say, if you're working on something important, before you get to your product, and they went to the product right away, whatever it was. Mm. You involve your stakeholders, you follow a process, then your product becomes very clear. And people don't buy in, they own it. And that's what, there was no ownership in these big issues they were facing. At the last minute, they responded to AT&T. At the 11th hour, it was the Mavericks were a crisis. At the 11th hour, City Hall is a crisis. You can't operate that way.
Do you support City Manager Kim Tolbert?
Yes, I really like her. I think, I'm worried that she's close to retirement, and she told me that. She told me she has a date on her calendar when she can retire. Hopefully I can convince her, if I get elected, just to hang on for a little while.
When's she gonna retire?
I think she can in March, but I'm gonna try to convince her to hang on until we get a plan.
You think there's any way she would retire in March with everything going on right now, with all the balls in the air at City Hall?
Well, she mentioned it to me three times when we met. But I don't think she would. She's too much of a leader, and everybody depends on her. Even the ones that don't like her, they know that she's the one. We can't afford unforced errors. We got to get this right. Everybody's watching, and we've already made too many mistakes.
We are 15 months from the election, November of 2027. That's a long time. Why announce so early?
Well, I think that it gives me an opportunity to control the narrative. It gives me an opportunity to get out. For the people who don't know me, it gets them an opportunity to know me. And, you know, I'm going to be everywhere, in every council member district. People in Old East Dallas think a lot differently from Preston Hollow, think a lot differently from Redbird. So you got to be there listening to everybody. And I got to do it now. I can't wait till the 11th hour. That's been the problem. We've been waiting to the 11th hour to solve problems.
One of the biggest flashpoints in the city today is the future of Dallas City Hall. You said that the Dallas should honor its past, but also noted the building needs to be functional at the end of the day. To be clear, do you support investing in the current building or moving on from it so that land can be redeveloped?
If it was my decision, I probably would not do that, because the numbers
going
to not invest in the current structure.
Is it so move on from it?
It's not functional. It's not efficient. It's big. It has great history. So we need to figure out how to honor that history. But I'm less worried about, because down to the Central Business District will be redeveloped. Between the Convention Center and Dallas ISD and Dallas College, we got some people that are going to invest there. Now, it needs to be better, and there needs to be a plan. But we also can't waste resources. And you can have a win-win. There's a lot of other buildings real close to that building where city employees could go. And so you just need someone who can bring people to the table and create as much of a win-win as possible.
Dr. Hinojosa, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk a lot between now and then.
Now to the Coastal Bend, where the water crisis in Corpus Christi is likely to be the most important issue drawing voters to the polls this November. In fact, Mayor Paulette Guajardo tells us that it could cost incumbents their jobs. We spoke to her from City Hall. Mayor, welcome to the program here. Let's start wide. Rain and some other wells that have been dug there along the coastal bend seem to have helped the water situation in Corpus Christi. Give us an idea, though, right now, how critical is water?
Critical. Water is very, very critical. The recent rains, and we've had several events, have really made a difference. So what has happened is by the rain that we've received in our reservoirs, it has pushed out when we would have to call a level one emergency. So far out to say an entire year, the end of next year. So more so than a year. And so that's a very good news, but that does not mean we relax. There has to continue to be a sense of urgency.
Have you thought at all that, you know, after a decade of trying to get this through, I know it wasn't all you, but after a decade of the city working on this, millions of dollars spent, if there's not an appetite for this now, is it time to walk away from the Inner Harbor desalination plant?
No, it's not time to walk away because we have worked so hard. It took 5 years just to get the permit. And unfortunately, yes, in this political term, we have 5 council members who are vehemently against it.
What's the option then? Are you hoping that someone else gets elected that might finally approve this?
No, we have elections in November. We have elections in November, and we have invested way too much time and millions of dollars into this. The state of Texas has afforded us $757 million in low interest loans. I know it's a loan, but you do the math. When you're getting a loan at 3% versus private sector 8%, right, you're saving some serious taxpayer dollars. We must move forward. We are blessed. You know, we're Corpus Christi. That's, you know, the body of Christ. We have water in our backyard, and we are holding this up time after time after time. There's nothing I can do about it. It's about a majority. But in the end, I don't think we give up on it. It's just been too much time and work for multiple councils in the last couple of decades.
How big of an issue do you expect water to be in the November election there in the city?
Huge. Number one.
Is it going to impact incumbents, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's going to be number one, Jason. It's going to be a number one issue. Because of our situation. And that's months away. Early voting starts end of October, mid to end of October. So water is going to be a very big topic in this next election.
Do you expect water to cost any incumbents their jobs?
I think that's probably fair to say.
Mayor, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The roundtable is ready when we come back here on Inside Texas Politics. The roundtable is back. Bud, Natalie, and Ashley with us. And Bud, let's pick up with a conversation we had earlier with Ashley. You mentioned during the break about the Tallarico-Paxton debate. If this does materialize, you think Paxton has a lot to gain here?
Yeah, I think Paxton could gain a lot of ground. You know, he can stand up and call Tallarico a low-T lib the whole night or whatever he wants to call him. He can solidify a lot of his support, and he can kind of come out and show people what he's all about, because he, you know, so far he hasn't had a lot of public appearances. He has a lot to gain. He could also bring back those libertarian voters that were sneaking over to the third party. He could bring those back to his side. I think it'd be good for him. I don't know how much experience he has, Jason. He said in 2018 he would debate anybody, but that he didn't. I'm sure he debated when he was running for the state legislature, but all I can find is 1984 when he was running for student body president at Baylor.
And of course, Paxton did win, even though, you know, after 2018, when he ran against several Republican challengers, he did win without debates. Natalie, let's shift off to these 3% spending cuts that state leaders are asking universities, courts, and state agencies to make here. Can Texas cut this? And it seems like the economy is still doing pretty well in this state. Why the cuts?
I think we are moving from the era of budget surplus to budget choices. When we have things like, you know, more money into our infrastructure or into school vouchers, which is, you know, interesting that we are asking a different, you know, area of education to cut their budget. You know, I think we are just looking at a phase of lawmakers looking to decide where they need to put their dollars because we have so much going into other things. So, like I said, I think we're moving into an era of budget choices instead of just a budget surplus. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that this is a time to panic. I think our economy is still strong, like you mentioned, but it's just about making those choices.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, though, Ashley. I mean, budget choices here. And you know, everyone wants to cut property taxes. That money doesn't come out of the air.
You know, I like what you have to say, but I think that this is not a sign of a good thing. I think anytime you are telling across the board every state agency, with the exception of education, that they have to cut 3% of their budgets, I think that they see something is coming down the pipeline. Not to mention, think about they're starting to prepare all of the numbers. It is going to be Don Huffines being the acting comptroller who is going to be telling them how much money they have to spend. And we know he likes to cut things. So I think that this is a little cause for concern.
We shall see what happens with that. But about a minute left here. Let me ask you about this new development. Attorney General Kim Paxton, just before he got involved in that Texas Tech football scandal with Brendan Sorsby, the former quarterback who plays sports bets. Turns out the Tribune and other news outlets have reported that Paxton's Senate campaign got a big donation. How is this involved in, you know, closing in on the election? This doesn't look good.
Yeah, $500,000 in donations from Campbell and Sellers, the guys who funded Tech football. This is not the first time Tech's used its political weight to push people around. You notice, though, that, you know, he was siding with Tech against the Big 12. That's TCU, Houston, and Baylor, his own school. Is Ken Paxton not loyal?
Do you think this will be an issue come November?
I don't know, but I think it could be. You know, I think everything around Texas Tech football is an issue right now.
Yeah, indeed so. All right, guys. Natalie, Ashley, Bud, thanks so much as always. We appreciate it. And thank you for watching as well. We're back next Sunday to take you inside Texas politics, and we hope to see you then. Take care.